Mark with me. And if I was to title this, I'm going to preach to you today on being healed on every level. Being healed on every level. And I may introduce some things or say some things today. Maybe you haven't thought of it before in this perspective. I feel God to help us. Amen. Don't let this hinder the service. I want this to be a part of it. Amen. I'm looking for a good altar call where God's just going to touch our hearts today. And I'm looking maybe right here in this service that somebody will leave this service and say, I've been healed in one area of my life or another. Amen. Healing is a deep thing. It really is. Sometimes we often want to make it something that's very surface, but it's a very, very, very deep principle in Scripture that God wants His people to be whole. Amen. God wants us to be a whole body of people. So if you look today in the book of Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture there. All of you know about this woman that we're going to read about. It's the woman that had the issue of blood. Anybody ever heard that story before? Amen. Reached out and touched Jesus. I just want to share some thoughts that have been on my heart. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, we'll let you turn there. And when you get there, just give me a good amen. All right, I feel like that's probably at least 50%. Let's read. Amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For He said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while He had spake, we're going to stop there. We don't want to get into the other story. I better slow down. Amen. But we're going to stop there. I want to preach to you today, and please give me your attention for a few moments. I have this message, to be honest with you. The thought came to heart this week as I was in prayer. And I said, man, I've studied that out. And I know I've made some notes about it, never outlined it or anything. And I've been digging through my notes that I had saved up there. And last April, I had this message put together, but never felt liberty to preach it. So I went through and kind of was condensing it, because when I studied, I put so much stuff together. And I try to condense it today to meet the need of this hour in this church in our lives. And today I will preach to you on what it is to be healed on every area of your life. Now, I want you to understand, as we are moving forward in this message, that the healing that we are looking for, the healing that we need, really has a lot more to do with the healer than it does with you and me. Healing is a fact and an act of grace. And it's one of those things that if you had to earn it or try to work your way up some sort of mountain to try to buy it or purchase it, you can never afford it. It is an act of grace where God bestows upon us the needs that we have in our life. He meets those needs that are in our life. How many knows that healing was a part of the atonement there at Calvary? When He died for us, He died to make us whole. And we can rest assured of that, and we can put our faith in that great truth today that Jesus died and also atoned that we could be healed. I would say today, and you would have to understand the nature of God. It is Jesus' desire to heal us. I believe it is stronger and deeper than any desire that we can possibly understand. I know sometimes maybe we desire healing and we feel like, look, my desire is so great, God. But I will tell you this, the desire of God for you to be healed is something that is a major thing. He desires to touch His people. He desires to heal His people. But with that said today, we also must understand that when we talk about being healed and knowing that God can utterly heal us, that does not mean that we will move into eternal completeness. Once again, how many knows today you can get healed of something today, but you're going to die one day unless you go by way of the rapture? I wish I could say today that God would heal you one time would never get a sinus infection again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or God would touch you one time in this area and you'd never get heartburn again. You'd never have to take another metrazole is what they call it, I say. You'd never have to take it again. Wouldn't it be a nice day and know you could be healed in one area and you never get a headache again? But that is not the reality in which we live in. We understand today that this does not mean that we are moved into eternal completeness where there is no sickness, pain, or struggle. That is for the other side of eternity. But that does not demote the fact today that God desires to bring healing into our lives on every level of our very personality. This does not mean, as again, it's not our healing, but God wants to touch His people. He has made provisions to touch His people. He desires for you to leave here today and you can say, I have been made whole. Now, I want you to understand this moving forward into this message before we lay a complete foundation. Forget this today that there are different levels of healing. Today, with the Lord's help and the time will permit, we're going to talk about 5 different levels of healing in your life that you have need of. Doesn't mean you need all 5 at one time. You may need one over the other at that present moment in your life. But I believe today, even in a congregation this size, that there's those of you that are in this room, you need to be touched by God in one of these areas. And I believe our God is more than able to meet the need. Now, once again, as we move into this, we're going to talk about spiritual healing. We're going to talk about emotional healing. We're going to talk about social healing. We're going to talk about financial healing. And we're going to talk about physical healing if the Holy Ghost allows today. Now, once again, I've got to say this again. I'm going to sound like a broken record. We are not saying that every one of those areas will be utterly healed. Every one of this room today, like I said, you can get healed physically and get sick tomorrow. God can heal you emotionally and you can cry in the future. God can heal you financially and there could be a coming deadline. And God can heal a relationship in your life, but yet doesn't mean you'll never have a conflict again. This does not mean utter healings, but it does mean that God heals on all of these levels. I want to also get you to understand today in this message that all 5 of these levels of healing was present in this woman's life. And when God, when Jesus healed her, the amazing thing is this, I'm going to show you in Scripture, not only did He heal her physically, but He healed her emotionally, He healed her spiritually, He healed her financially, and He also healed her socially as well. What do we know about this woman? We know this for a fact, that she was a woman that for 12 years, she was an outcast. She was alone. You would understand, within the Jewish community, she had what was called, she had this issue of blood. She had this 12-year hemorrhage, so to speak. And we would understand, if you read in the Old Testament, any time this was the issue in a woman's life, she was to be considered an unclean woman. Could you imagine for 12 years, here this woman is. She has been told that she is unclean. She is reminded that she is unclean. She wasn't allowed to go to the temple and worship, even as I begin to study in some of the Jewish culture. Even her husband, if she had been married, even her husband would have had legal Jewish grounds even to divorce her. We don't know if she was able, we know this condition, she would not have been able to have children for the last 12 years. Can you imagine being this woman, a social and spiritual outcast? She can't go to the temple to get rid of her guilt. Come on now, she don't have a companion so that we know of in Scripture that she can confide in, that will help carry her burden. She is labeled as unclean. She is reminded that she is unclean. She was placed in the same category as an adulteress, and it was literally written that way in the law. She couldn't have any children or nothing like that. Underneath the legal circumstances, she was somebody that was just a complete and utter outcast. I would go on to say a little further. She had did nothing. She didn't vote for this position. She didn't desire this position. These are one of those things that just came on her. And we would also understand this as well. And please follow. She had low expectations when it came to getting her need met. And I will explain. Because often we do commend this lady for pressing through the crowd and touching the heel of His garment, which is something that is very commendable. But I would say this as well. When she touched the hem of His garment, she was just expecting to receive a physical healing and not expecting anything else. She was not seeking relationship with Christ. She needed a healing in her body. When you study, I would say
they do. And she touched his garment, and she was not convinced about the way that he felt about her. She was not convinced. She wanted to be healed. She needed to be healed. And that was going to be the extent of her relationship to Christ at that moment. I would say to you today, brothers and sisters, before you leave this building today, some of you need to be convinced of how Jesus feels about you. If you don't mind me putting it in the modern lingo, he's crazy about his children. He's crazy about those that serve. He loves you. You say, how radical, how scandalous is his love? I'll tell you, it's radical enough that he clawed his way up Golgotha's hill. He laid in his hands on a tree and he was crucified, that he can touch you in every area of your life, that he can meet every level. I feel the Holy Ghost here today to remind us of something. We have a God that doesn't just desire to touch us in one area. He doesn't desire just to touch my body, but leave me struggling financially. He doesn't desire just to touch me physically and not touch my emotions and not touch my spiritual man or not heal my family. He wants to reconciliate every area and marry every make whole every area of my life. When you come to Christ, he loves you so much. He loves you just like you are, yes, but he loves you too much to leave you there. He's going to change you. He's going to rearrange you. He's going to heal you. He's going to touch you. I'm glad I'm convinced today that God loves me that much. Oh yes, if we're not careful, I just witnessed this in ministry. We almost become like this timid lady here in the scripture. We're thinking, man, I'm not going to try to go in front of him. He might see me. But if I can work my way in that service, if I can somehow maybe slip it in during worship, or maybe somehow, if he'll hear my prayer just this once, this lady is trying to sneak up behind him. And I like what one author, John Blue, he said it like this. This lady was stealing her healing is what she was doing. She was reaching to touch his garment. She wasn't looking for eye-to-eye contact. She did not feel worthy enough. Maybe she felt within herself, if Jesus knew what I really was, if he knew that I was unclean, that he will not meet the needs of my life. She felt like she had to somehow manipulate the blessing out of his life. I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters, you ain't got to sneak up behind Jesus. You ain't got to try to camouflage your needs. He'll take you just as you are, as long as you understand this principle. Lord, I need your help. I need to be healed in these areas in my life. This is a scandalous grace of Christ that he loves you just like that. He cares for you, young lady. He cares for you, ma'am, in scripture. You don't have to sneak up behind him. He's going to pull you back. He wants to look you in the eyes. He wants to tell you that he loves you. He wants you to know that it's okay. He wants to remind us that he wants to heal us on every single level. For her, a physical healing was enough. But she had more needs than just the physical. You know, often I realize this over the years. A lot of times people often need a touch in one area, but it's usually got layers to it. God, if you'll just, Lord, I'm unworthy. If you'll just touch me right here, I ain't worried about all that other stuff. This is what's pressing. But I'll tell you this, Jesus isn't looking just to touch you and just give you enough to send you on the way. Jesus is looking to make you whole. And I'm glad to know today that's what he did in the life of this woman. Notice how desperate she is. She has went from doctor to doctor and none of them could help. And I believe even some of these doctors are almost they're so crooked. They know that they cannot help her. But she's just once again come by the office. Let me try another procedure or something else. Here it is. They've taken her money. I believe maybe taken advantage of her. She didn't know what it was to be emotionally well either. No more than she did physically well. She didn't know what it was to be socially well. No more she did financially well. She didn't fully understand who Christ was at the time. She was not convinced of that. So she came to Jesus. She's sneaking up behind him. That's what we know about this woman. That's what we know about her. But this is the preaching part. This is what we know about our Savior. We can talk about her being an outcast. We can talk about what we know about her, which is limited. But I'll tell you, the Scripture, in time and time again, shows us the intentions of our Savior. What we know here is that he is a healer, and he heals to the uttermost, and wants to touch every aspect of our lives, every element of our lives. We'll start right here because it is the one that is that is initially received. And the most evident in Scripture, it says this, that after she touched Jesus, touched the hem of His garment, immediately her flow of blood stopped. Now we look at this. This is that miraculous healing of the body when all else fails and there's no other alternatives. This woman had to receive a miracle. The doctors couldn't do it and she couldn't purchase it. She had to receive something that is miraculous. And that's what this is right here. You may be here today and say, Brother Derek, I need a physical healing. I need something miraculous in my life. And I'm proud to do this, because I would tell you, there's nobody in this room that can help you, but there's a man named Jesus. Well, I guess he's in the room too. But the only one in the room that can help you, his name is Jesus. There is no healing ministry. I don't have the ability, or quite less than gifts of the Spirit works through the Holy Ghost in me. It's nothing to do with Derek or any other minister. Healing comes from God. He is a healer. He can do the miraculous. And we need once again to understand that there are other elements of physical healing, but they are not miraculous. The doctors are good at what they do, but that's not miraculous. Doesn't make it wrong, does it? How many goes to the doctor occasionally? I'm going to get a checkup. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I realized something. If the doctor looked at me today and said, son, you ain't going to make it another day, I'm going to say, well, Jesus, probably should have called him a lot sooner. But I'll tell you this. Is, we know this, that doctors can... How many finds it amazing what they can do in medicine nowadays? I said before, they can hack you open, take out half your gizzard, cut that up and put a piece of it back and put some metal beside it. I mean, there's metal and bone. I mean, it's amazing what they can do nowadays. I mean, to sit there and put you to sleep and you wake up, you don't know what happened, and you're just sitting there saying, man, what happened? We're going to rearrange your whole body. It's amazing what they can do. But I'll tell you this, that is amazing, but it's not miraculous. God ain't got to cut you open and can heal you. It's a lot less painful when He does it. The Holy Ghost don't need to be an anesthesiologist. Amen. He don't need 45 nurses. He don't need an operating table. Thank God for medicine. I'm not condemning that, because we understand that is still a blessing in modern science, so we can do some of these things. But let us never forget the importance of the miraculous things that are in Jesus Christ. When the doctor gives you up, when you feel like nothing other than medicine, they're just experimenting on half of us. We have to understand that. We don't know half what's going on. Guess what? God knows all about it. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I know this. When they said you got a virus or a bacteria, they really don't know what's going on. And you know, they give you this. They say, well, this usually works. If that don't work, and I'll tell you, half the side effects scared me. You ever seen them commercials? I mean, it's like a butterfly chasing a person around. And it's, I forget all of them. It says, you want to sleep better, you know, take this medicine and all this stuff. And then it says at the end of it, you know, it's like the side effects of it. It says, you may want to kill yourself. You know, your leg may fall off. You know, you may lose your ear. Just sit there and say, I'd rather just stay up a little bit. Come on. You ever thought about that? I mean, you can't look. I appreciate the medical. I'm not condemning those things. But you know, even psychologists, they're all mixed up too. You depress them up. They'll go there and there's a splotch of ink on paper. What does it look like? It's a butterfly. You're good. It looks like the devil. You need medicine. It's the mentality and perspective. I'm telling you, when you get a biblical perspective, the ink's always going to look like a butterfly. Everything's always going to look good, because there's a filter, there's a perspective, that there's someone miraculous, there's a blessed hope in your life. Thank God for the physical healing that God can do in our lives. She didn't fully know everything, but she had enough data that she knew that it wasn't going to work. They ran enough tests. She'd been plotted with enough needles. She came to this conclusion. She came to this conclusion. I've got to get to Jesus. The Bible simply says this, that she heard about Jesus. Hey, look, she didn't have the New Testament like you've got. I'm going to say that again. She ain't got that nice commentary set. She ain't got that study Bible that you've got. She don't know anything about the written writings of Christ. She just heard from across town. I don't know where she heard it from. Maybe she was laying there one day and walked outside. And maybe there was a little girl that walked by. And she said, I seen that little girl running around. But she realized something. Last week that little girl was blind. She asked the little girl, what happened, sweetie? There's a man named Jesus up the road. He's up in blinded eyes. Cripples are running around town. The dead are leaping to their feet. There's a Jesus. She heard about Him enough to know that He could heal. Man, we've got Christology. theology. I mean, we've got every other ology there is. And when that don't work, we marry the ologies together. We create new fields. And all of that. When we just a woman right here, the new little, she just heard about it. And it was enough to stimulate faith in her life. How much do you know? And Lord, help us take what we know and operate by that. Notice this. 12 years of pain and struggle, grief and sadness, now gone. After she touched Jesus. I mean, Jesus said, somebody touched me. You know, the disciples said, you know, Jesus, you know, they kind of be a little smart. Jesus, look at all these people here. You know, you're saying, somebody touched me? No, somebody touched me and really touched me. Look, all these folks are touching me, but they ain't doing nothing. When this person touched me, somebody had some faith. Because he said, I felt virtue leave my body. Somebody touched me with a touch of faith. And he said, look, I know these folks are touching people. You're touching me right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's somebody. And the Bible says, if I notice this, Jesus could have left her there healed. That would have been amazing, wouldn't it? We all would have said that is miraculous. But notice this, she got her physical healing, but Jesus insisted on more. Aren't you glad when God's persistent in our lives? He could have let her go on her merry way. And she could have told everybody how she touched his garment and was healed. Man, how much you think that garment would have went for on eBay? That it stole it like Tom Brady's jersey. Only current events will know what I'm talking about. It's all over the news, and I think it's a waste of news time. But I'll tell you this. That look, she touched it. He wasn't going to let her have this superstitious faith. It wasn't that you touched my tassels of my garment. No, sir. No, ma'am. He realized this, and she had to realize this. She had been discovered. She came back, fell at his feet. And as one of the Gospels says, she fell down and began to worship him. Now, notice this. Jesus is so persistent that he can touch you deeper than you can ever imagine. The symptom is gone, but the disease is still there. Maybe not in its original form. But the hole and the pain and the underlying emptiness, it is still there. The lostness, the confusion is still there. You receive your physical healing, but guess what? There's another level. You need a spiritual healing as well. How often, let me say this. How often when we get sick do we say, God, touch us physically? I wish that sometimes we pray like this, Lord, heal my spirit. Yes. You know, sometimes when your spirit is healed, it makes a tremendous difference on your body. Amen. Look, I'm not just one of those positive thinking type guys. I'll tell you this. I've seen different cases where people had cancer. I dealt with one case before where I looked at him and instantly he gave up. And guess what? It went but a few months. And I ain't saying this works in every case. It's different every case. I watched. He gave up on life. He said, that's it. I'm quitting. And guess what? He ended up dying. He went on to be with the Lord. And they're not quitting spiritually. He said, I'll just quit. He is sick of it. And I've seen somebody else. He was supposed to be dead 3 or 4 years ago. He's still ticking along. They said, he's still got it. We don't know. He's just living. I'll tell you the difference in their conversations of this. Lord, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to stand on this. Notice this. This woman was also touched spiritually. The symptom was gone, yes. She went from just being physically touched to finding herself at the feet of Jesus offering pure and true worship. She went from a person who just touched the hem of his garment. Now she was just saying this. She had received what her needs were, but now she is a true worshiper. She went deeper in worship and allowed Jesus to touch her deeper. Now understand this. She was not just interested now at touching the hem of his garment. She's now going to worship and touch the heart of Jesus, and there you can find that ultimate healing in your life. Somebody here today, hear me. You need to be healed not only in your body, but you need a healing spiritually. The Bible says, you know, the spirit of a man can sustain him in his infirmities. Which means when a man's healthy spiritually, guess what? It actually pump up. That same night should pump him up a little bit. It actually sustain him. But it says, if you have a wounded spirit, who can even bear a wounded spirit? You ever seen somebody before that had the diagnosis, you're going to die? And they were so solid in their faith that they were smiling about it? And you're like, well, what's going on? Say, yeah, oh yeah, they said a few weeks. And you're almost like, really? I'll tell you what it is. They've been healed spiritually. They're whole.
We look at this in the Bible. This is important. Please follow. That the virtue can flow deep into your heart. And from that healed heart, true worship will flow out. Notice this woman here. Not only touched spiritually, but it goes even deeper or even just as deep to her emotions. This is emotional healing. And what emotional healing is, when joy replaces the tears and the pain that when pain and sickness had robbed from you. Notice what Jesus said to her. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Man, you ever needed to be touched emotionally? Look, how many knows we can be an emotional mess? We don't live by them things. They'll get you, mess you all up. Come on.
I warn young folks all the time. I say, yeah, you got to be careful getting a vehicle and turn on a song and say, oh, I love you.
I say, you better be careful because a lot of times it can be just emotion. Come on. You've got to be careful with your emotions. But I tell you this, we are emotional creatures. We needed to be touched emotionally. We look at this here, we look back at the words that are being spoken by one who has created everything, Jesus the Creator, the one who created the world, is speaking into her life. She has not heard these words of kindness for 12 years. They've looked at her and they've talked about her. She's an outcast. She hasn't heard good words in 12 years. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks at her and says, daughter, be of good cheer. Oh, how many love some good news every now and then? I don't know about you, but I'd rather somebody come to me with a lot more good news than bad news. I'd rather hear somebody got healed than somebody died. Now, you can hear both in life. I know that. But I'll tell you this. Thank God for good news. And she began to worship Him. He began to speak to her. This emotional healing. Look at this. We decide we are going to let Jesus, the one who said He could and would, and become the oil of joy. He'll give us the garment of praise. Some of us need an emotional healing.
Every day. I ain't out of words. I've got something to say. I want you to get this important point right here. Emotional healings are so needed in the Pentecostal church, it's a mess. There's some people who are so propped up by music, they think that's the ultimate answer. Well, this music makes me feel this way, or this right here. They have to have something a certain amount of time. I'll tell you, you get alone with God in a prayer closet, He can touch you so deep right there that your emotions can be made whole, that you can differentiate what is right and wrong. We need Jesus to touch us deep. We need Him to touch our emotions. And we need Him to give us clear direction. Some of us need an emotional healing. I don't understand how depression and different things work all the time. I'll be honest with you. I don't think nobody does. I've met people before that were upset. They didn't know why they were upset. I've met people before that were crying and didn't know why they were crying. I'm just saying, I've met different ones. I've met people before that something so small became so big in their lives. And you're like, Wendell, why are you letting that little thing bother you like that? I'll tell you what it is. They need an emotional healing in their life. They're an emotional wreck. They've been depressed and discouraged. What it is, they need Jesus to touch them, not only physically, not only spiritually, but their emotions need to be healed. Brothers and sisters, we have been given the privilege to rejoice in Christ. We have. God don't want you in the Mully Grubs. I don't know if you ever heard that. I'm sure you think you've heard Mully Grubs before. I know I say some things sometimes. You say, what's that? God don't want you like a yo-yo, you know, up and down all the time. God don't want you to live life like you're on a roller coaster and you just waiting for the next drop and hope that. And you know how many days on a roller coaster you drop a lot quicker and you go up? There's some people's lives like that, but they drop so fast. It takes them 6 months to get up and they'll drop down again. God's not wanting you to live that way. He wants your emotions to be whole. He wants you to know how He feels about you. And when you know how He feels about you, it affects how you feel about Him. Some of us need to be convinced. Hear me. So much need to be convinced. It goes on, we look at this, and we can go on to the fourth thing right here. And look, I don't want anybody to get excited. I'm not telling you to plant a seed here today and I'm going to give you $1 million. But God can give you financial healing. Right? What I would consider this or define this as is when funeral investments are replaced by trusting in God's economy. Now, not like the TV stuff. Again, I'm not talking about that stuff. You ever thought about this? You know, they always tell you to plant a seed. And I've asked myself a few times, why don't they plant some seeds? If they believe in that process so much, man, if I was them, I'd be sowing seeds like crazy. I don't know if I'd tell anybody. Here it is. If you plant a seed, you get $1 million. Plant a seed, you get this. And I ask myself, you ask yourself sometimes, why don't they plant their own seed, so to speak? The Lord does want to heal us financially. He wants to be able to say, He wants us to be able to say one day, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or a seed begging bread. The Lord wants to take care of us. Jesus said that we don't have to worry. He takes care of the sparrows and the lilies. That's what He wants us to do. Trust in His promises. I've met some millionaires before when I used to work in the grain industry. Some of them guys got some money, got planes and houses and boats and everything else. And I've met them before, man, they're so unstable mentally. And you think to myself, you know what it is? They've invested everything in an industry, some sort of feudal economy. And that's their greatest hope. When I read Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I never believe God more than anything else. But that doesn't necessarily keep you having nice things. But I'll tell you this, that should not be your ultimate hope. Some of you may be here today, and I'm not preaching a prosperity doctrine out of context. But I'll tell you this, if you sow to God, and you live for God, and you're a good steward, you can live a good and blessed life. Even if you've got $1 million, or you ain't got 2 pennies to rub together, because Christ is the answer to every need in our lives. It's not, Lord, hear my, give me. Lord, here, send me. But Lord, give me the resources to do Your will. Help me stand on Your word. I look at this, and we can see this woman here in the Bible. Could you imagine how much you think she invested in getting healed? 12 years. She's going doctor to doctor. I mean, it's always been breaking technology. I didn't even see the doctors back in those days. I hate going to them now. And not because anything gets the doctor, but man, I don't like getting needles. I haven't met nobody yet that says, man, I just love those needles. Could you imagine the dentist back in the Bible days? I mean, I guess hammer and chisel and get it on out of it. I don't know how they did it. Tell you this, I ain't a big fan, but I don't want to. But I know this woman has probably been prodded and experimented at home. This is one, when we see this, her bank account says zero, and she don't have anything else to spend. She needs God to help her. But she realized she spent all her finances on positions. She couldn't be healed. You know this affected her. You think this stressed her out. She spent all her money. She's still sick. How am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? How am I going to survive in a culture where men are the providers and the women don't have no status? I'm unclean. Nobody's going to hire me. Nobody will buy from me. She needs a financial healing. And guess what? Jesus took care of it. He healed her up. Everything's going to be all right.
That's right.
It was a sense of survival for this woman. God's going to take care of this church. Look, I don't know the future in America, but I'll tell you this. I've said it here many times. They'll never have to rip up the streets of gold and put down concrete. You will never find God saying to Gabriel, hey, go to one of them gates there. Can you chisel off a little of that? Man, I hope the investments are good this year. I hope the stock market does all right. He doesn't care how many points the stock market goes down. He may care for your sake, but you know, for his own personal sake, he ain't looking for money. God has it all. Last point today, and we'll close, but I want the altar call to be something real in our lives. The fifth place that she would heal was in her relationships. I've learned this traveling and preaching the gospel, a little bit I have. There needs to be some relationships healed in our churches. Hear me. Some of us, when I say us, I'm talking about in general. Some people are content not talking to that sibling. Some people are content not talking to a parent. Some people are content with their family being this way or that way, or they learn to live with it, let me say, more than they are content. Jesus Christ not only wants to touch us physically and emotionally and spiritually and financially in relationship, but He wants to restore our relationships. The woman here had been an outcast. She didn't belong anywhere. Nobody cared about her. But guess what happened after she was healed? I don't know. She'd never been married before. But maybe she was healed and she said, man, I'd like to find me a good Christian young man. I don't know. Maybe she said something like this. Man, I'd love to have some children. Maybe she said to herself, I'm going to go see Mama and Daddy. It's been a good while. said to the sister, let me come to the door. Jesus wants our relationship restored. He wants mommies and daddies to get back together and children to have their parents come home. Parents and their adult children to get over the past and talk again. Siblings to quit bickering and holding grudges. If you have been hurt by someone in church, He wants you to forgive and move forward. He wants to heal your relationships. You know, there were some relationships in my life when I got saved. I said, God, I want those to become whole again. I want them to become whole again. I just feel the Holy Ghost right here, and you just bear with me. You may be in this room today, and your relationship with somebody, it could be a child, it could be a parent, it could be a sibling, it could be a friend. It's not what it should be. It could be a spouse. God wants to heal it. Amen? God wants to heal it. You may say some of this, well, they're lost and they're sinners, I can't help it. The burden's even more on your shoulders. Sinners are going to act like sinners. But Christians have always got to act like Christians. That doesn't always mean to accept it. But you can do everything you can to make sure that it is healed. As my wife goes to the piano, she can. In closing today, if you stand to your feet all over this building, Holy Ghost, help us. If we could right now, let's get our minds on the Lord in closing here. I just